Welcome to the Lazy Millionaire Podcast, where we believe that hustling is not the only way to become rich and that actually enjoying your life is the number one key to manifesting wealth. I'm your host, Amy, and I'm here to inspire you to create your most abundant life, whatever that looks like for you. From money manifestation to entrepreneurship to astrology to the occasional Real Housewives reference, if you're ready to become your next level self, the future version of you who is doing, being, and attracting everything you desire and having fun while you do it, you are in the right place and it's time to start showing up as this version of you right now. Let's get into the show. Well, hello everybody and welcome back to the podcast. I am on a high this morning because I just changed my Instagram handle from Rebel Nutrition to Lazy Millionaire. And I have to be honest, actually, I didn't do it. I had to reach out to one of my best friends who luckily has an in at Instagram to help me because let me tell you, it was more of a process than I thought it would be to basically swap the two names because I still wanted to keep Rebel Nutrition. I didn't want anybody else taking that and kind of like building a new brand off of it. I wanted to keep them both and just like swap the following. Yeah, and it turned out to be a big headache. So if anybody is trying to do that, I'm sending good vibes your way because it really wasn't easy. But anyways, I am here today back for another podcast. And I'm super excited. I'm going to be talking about unconventional qualities that actually I think helped me become a millionaire. And when I say unconventional, it's because I'm talking about things that you probably would normally look at as hindrances to success or making money or building a business. But like, I honestly feel like they helped me. And that's sort of, I think, a main pillar of my brand and my message is that some of the unique qualities about yourself, maybe that you've been taught or conditioned over the years to think are a bad thing, can actually be a good thing and can actually be something that sets you apart from everybody else if you are willing to follow them and let those qualities kind of like lead you in a positive direction. Like an example of that is literally being a lazy millionaire. The word lazy, I grew up thinking being lazy was the worst possible thing that a person could be. And I also felt like I wanted to be lazy a lot of the time. And so a lot of the time when I'd be like sitting on the couch, I would think to myself, oh my God, I'm worthless. Like I'm not producing anything. I'm not creating anything. What is my worth if I'm sitting here on the couch being lazy? And over time I had to kind of like redefine what that meant for me. Cause I was like, you know what? What is so bad about relaxing sometimes? There's literally nothing wrong with that. And actually, it can lead to efficiency in a lot of ways because when you are lazy, you don't want to be working as much. You don't want to be working as many hours. So it makes you more efficient during the times that you are working, hence the name Lazy Millionaire. So that was a little side tangent that I didn't think I was going to go on, but here we are. One other thing I wanted to just talk about really quick, because you guys know I am a Swiftie to the max. I absolutely love Taylor Swift. And I know that like everybody is talking about this right now, but her album came out a couple of weeks ago and I have been listening nonstop. I'm absolutely obsessed. I have been a Taylor Swift fan since the beginning of time. I remember when I was like 16 years old hearing the song Tim McGraw, and I have loved her ever since. Even during the cringe era when people didn't like her, I still loved her. I thought she was amazing. And this album is no different. I feel like ever since Evermore and Folklore came out, I've had to kind of sit with her. Well, not with Midnights, to be honest. But for those of you who know Taylor Swift's albums, like Evermore, Folklore, and then Tortured Poets Department all kind of have a similar vibe. And those three albums, I've really had to like listen a few times through before I can give my true opinions on them. And I have to say, this is becoming one of my favorite albums. I've been listening to it nonstop. There are a couple of songs that I am absolutely in love with, obsessed. Just the words, the lyrics, like it gives me chills when I listen to it because I love them so much. So Long London is definitely one of my favorites. Literally like listening to it in the car this morning, starting to tear up because I just love it so much. Like she puts narcotics in her songs. That's one of the lyrics on her new album. And it's like, it is true. I feel like there's something in her music and it's like the girls that get it. And the girls that don't. And that's fine if you don't. But, okay. So Long London, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Let's see what else. Love of My Life or LOML. There's so many good ones, but, you guys are going to have to let me know over on Instagram which it's not Rebel Nutrition anymore. It's Lazy Millionaire. Come over and tell me what your favorite song from the new album is, okay? So about 6 years ago, I was living as a minimalist in a tiny house, thousands of dollars in debt, never spending a dime on anything non-essential. And I just started to have this feeling like, I want more than this. I want freedom to make my own schedule, to travel the world, to take bougie vacations and not limit myself to the cheapest food item on every menu anymore. Most importantly, I wanted to make an impact and help tons of people all over the world without hustling or working myself into the ground. Maybe some of you listening can relate to this. I just knew that there had to be a way to make passive, scalable income while I was at the spa, and even though everyone else thought that I was crazy, I created my first online nutrition course and proved everybody wrong. Online courses are a way to provide value to an unlimited amount of people at once in a completely passive way. Meaning, you could be making thousands of dollars and enrolling new students while you're at the spa, which is actually something I do almost every week now. At this point, I've helped over 2,700 entrepreneurs in all different industries like real estate, hairstyling, makeup, homeschooling, motherhood, interior design, graphic design, human design, astrology, business and marketing, photography, language, social media, and so many others, create profitable, scalable, and passive online courses inside my program, Online Course Academy. To learn more about Online Course Academy, how to choose a profitable topic, how to grow your audience from scratch without ads, and how to start selling your online course passively, I would love to have you come join my free masterclass called How to Make Passive Income with Your Own Online Course. The link to join the masterclass will be in the show notes of this episode and will also be linked in my Instagram bio at Rebel Nutrition. Remember, this is a completely free class, so there's literally no risk to join, but the rewards could pay off passively for years to come. See you there. Okay, let's get into today's episode. So the first unconventional quality that I think helped me become a millionaire is actually not knowing anything about business. You guys, when I started my business, I did not know what a business plan was. I did not know what ROI meant. I did not know what KPIs were. I didn't understand marketing, sales, trademarks, copywriting, attorneys, like any of that legal jargon, any of the things that people who go to college to get a business degree would probably be learning. I did not know any of that. And in a lot of ways, I think that that benefited me because I didn't have this picture in my mind when I started my business of all of these things that I needed to do. I was just focused on, okay, how can I serve people? How can I use my skills and passions and talents to give value to the world and make a profit from it? Like, bottom line, end of story, how can I make money using my gifts? And I was really focused, honestly, on turning a profit and making a profit before I did any of those things, like get trademarks, get copyrights. This is not good business advice, but just so you like have an example, I don't even think I got a business bank account until maybe after I had made like a couple thousand dollars. And then I was like, oh shit, like I better separate, you know, personal versus business. Now, that's not something I would recommend doing. Don't follow my advice there. But I just genuinely like did not really even know that you were supposed to do that. But I think that a lot of the reason that new entrepreneurs get really bogged down by all of these small details and never end up making a profit is because they're so busy worrying about doing everything quote unquote right, rather than just like focusing on the gift of like giving value and making money. And those are literally the first things that you need to do before you worry about any of that other minutia. I also think when you don't have this noise in your brain about how things should be done, you're a lot less fearful of making mistakes. So like I was fearful when I started my business that it wasn't going to work out and that I wouldn't make enough money from it and that I'd have to go back to a normal job. But I wasn't necessarily afraid of like doing things wrong because I didn't really know what could go wrong. And I think that that is actually a really nice place to be in. And I'll give you just like a differing perspective. My husband actually went to college he got a degree in business and marketing. And I feel like that has almost held him back in a lot of ways with business. He knows a lot about business, which is amazing and definitely helpful for me. But for himself, he has all these like preconceived notions about like how something should be done and getting all these things in order first before executing. And really, like, all you need to be a successful entrepreneur, in my opinion, is somebody who executes. Okay, the next unconventional quality that helped me become a millionaire is letting myself be bad at things for a while and kind of weirdly enjoying the process. So what I mean by that is I've always been a really competitive person, and I, for some reason, really thrive at being bad at something and then working really hard every single day to get better and better and better and seeing that progress. So an example of this was like when I was in sports, when I was younger, playing soccer, playing volleyball, playing tennis, like I did not start out great at any of those things, but I loved the practice, the act of doing it, the play, the learning, and seeing myself get 1% better every single day was just something that was so fun to me. And then eventually reaching like a level of excellence. And same thing with my business. Like when I first, if you guys have been around for a long time, you know, when I first would like get on video or when I would first record podcasts, I was reading every single word off of a script. And like right now I have a couple notes written down, and what I'm doing is just totally riffing on certain topics and things that come to mind. But I never would be at the place that I'm at right now if I hadn't ever created those outlines and gotten over my fear of getting on camera and just reading from a script at first. But I think most people are so afraid of not being amazing at something right away that it makes them never start. Because if you are expecting yourself to get on camera and talk confidently and succinctly and with clarity the very first time you get on camera, the first time you ever get on camera or get on a mic, you're never gonna do it. The way that you get really good at something is by allowing yourself the grace to be bad at it for a while. So when I started on Instagram, a lot of my videos were really blurry. They were low quality. My Instagram stories looked like shit. There have been so many times when I would like send out an email and a link would be broken, or a coupon code wouldn't be working. I remember my first launch of my very first online course didn't sell as much as I had hoped. I mean, I think I had like 5 or 6 people buy. So I think it ended up still making over $1,000. But of course I had big dreams of like hitting 10K on my first launch, you know, but I had a tiny audience at the time and the price point of my course was low. So of course I wasn't, you know, thrilled with only making $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars, but at the same time, you have to start somewhere. And it's the same thing, like people who are starting with a small following in a low price course expecting to make, you know, 100K on their first launch. I say this always with a caveat because anything is possible. However, you also have to be a bit realistic that like you might not ever get to those levels of like 6 and 7 figure years if you don't let yourself start where you're at right now. So the fact that I knew nothing about business and I knew from the beginning that I was not a businesswoman at all, it kind of gave me the permission to be okay with being bad at things for a while and just like getting out the bad so that I could progress over time and every single day, every single week, get a little bit better, a little bit better. Optimize the quality of my videos, the lighting, the sound, the links, like all of those things over time, like it really, that is what makes a big, big difference. It's not starting right away and being perfect. So I was able to kind of look at all of these quote unquote failures or things that I was bad at as stepping stones towards success rather than reasons why I should quit or stop. Okay, the next unconventional quality that made me a millionaire is honestly being very type B. I am not a type A, perfectionist, organized, analytical person whatsoever. I consider myself to be more of a creative, scatterbrained, just kind of fly by the seat of my pants type of person. So you'll have to let me know if anybody else resonates with that. So because of that, a lot of times I aim for like 80 to 90% good enough. For me, good enough is perfect because you will never reach perfection. I don't care how much of a perfectionist you are. If you are a perfectionist, you probably actually know and can recognize how much that, you know, being that way can kind of be a hindrance on getting things done because you're always going back and adding more info or editing more or tweaking more. And it's like, I'm sorry, nobody cares if you have a typo. I mean, maybe there are some people who do care, but truly, typos, small things like that are not going to be the difference between if somebody buys your course, if somebody buys your product or not. It does not make a difference in your bottom line. And my goal is always make it 80 to 90% good enough, get it out into the world, get it launched, execute. And then you can always go back and tweak things, fix things, add more content if you want to, but it does not need to be perfect right away. So this is your permission. If you're waiting on your course, your first post, your first YouTube video, whatever you're working on right now, if you just keep going back to it and trying to make it more perfect and more perfect, let it be good enough. This is your permission. Get it out into the world, take action. And then, like I said, you can always go back and, you know, optimize it in the future if you want. But I think that you will be surprised because I think when I first launched OCA, I did this as well. I aimed for 80 to 90%. Of course, there was like always things that I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to fix that. There's a typo. I want to optimize this. And I was thinking like, I'm gonna go back and change and edit all of these things based on customer feedback. And the funniest thing is I don't think I ever got a single bit of feedback that was like, you know what? You spelled this word wrong on one of your slides. No one ever said that because most people do not care. And if they do, it really probably has nothing to do with you anyways. So you can't take it personally. Only until recently, which side note, if you are an OCA student, if you go into the course right now, you will see that we recently updated all of the slides and the graphics and everything looks much more aesthetic and beautiful now. Now that we updated it since it was originally in there from the first time that I had launched it. So I hope you guys enjoy that. It looks beautiful. Let me know your thoughts. Okay, the next quality is quitting and actually not finishing everything I start. When did it become like such a big deal to finish everything that you start? That's what I want to know because I feel like that has been drilled into our minds forever. And while of course I do see the value in that to some extent, because a lot of times in order to see through like the hard project or the hard thing that we're working on, in order to get to the end, you probably have to push through some ups and downs, right? Entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. It's never going to be super easy every single day. There are so many ups and downs, but I think there's also a lot of value in realizing that something is no longer aligned for you and deciding to part ways with it because you want to make space for something better that is coming. So a good example of this is there have been a lot of times when I have started working on a course or I've had an idea about something and I get the ball in motion. I start working on the thing. And for whatever reason, I start to realize, you know what? I don't actually think I want to do this anymore. Like I thought that this was a really good idea, but that might've just been me on a high one day about some random topic. And I'm going to like, you know, sit on this and wait a little bit and see if I want to come back to it. Sometimes I come back to it and sometimes I don't. But the key here is really tuning in with yourself and figuring out which tasks and projects you're working on are truly in alignment. And if you start to feel that fear come up of, oh, I don't know, you should probably quit now, that is totally different than just realizing that something is no longer aligned for you. If it's a fear that's coming in and it's a thought process or a thought pattern that's telling you, okay, this sucks, you suck, you're never going to make money off of this, no one's ever going to buy it, that is definitely different. And that is a thought that you get to decide whether you want to listen to or not. I just actually did an Instagram story about this morning. So I'll share it with you guys here because I do think it's helpful. To this day, I still have these like thought patterns that come up, especially when I'm working on something new that I'm going to be charging for. These thoughts of like, you suck. Is anybody even going to buy this? Is anybody going to even find this helpful? And then a couple minutes later, I'm like, wait, this is like actually really good. Like I'm impressing myself. I'm having fun. Oh my God, wait. A couple minutes later, I'm like, holy shit. Like, did I just write that? Or did I like channel that from a different dimension? Because that is mind blowing. Like this is so going to help so many people. And I'm so excited to share this with the world. Like these ups and downs, just so you know, are totally normal. There's something that I still experience very frequently, but I think over time we just get better at deciding whether we don't listen to them or not. You know what I mean? Like at the beginning of your business, you might actually think that you should listen to those fears. And I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, God, I wonder how many people have not launched courses or started businesses because they listened to those fears that I still have on a daily basis. I still have them, but I just don't listen to them. So that's totally different than, like I said, working on something and realizing that it's no longer aligned for you. So maybe it's like you're dreading working on it, or it feels like, oh my gosh, I have this, you know, better idea that only came to fruition once I started working on this thing. A lot of times taking action on something will give you so much clarity. The more that you sit and think about doing something, you're just like staying stagnant. The energy is not flowing. That doesn't really give you any information. Like, my best piece of advice would be, even if you aren't sure yet about the business idea, about the course topic, just start, put the ball in motion, start taking the steps towards doing it. And that is going to give you a lot more information about the direction that you want to go with it. If it's aligned, how you want to market it, all of those things that people sit and think about. You don't need to think about it. You just need to do it. And that information will come to you. At least that's been the experience for me. And quitting things can actually be beautiful, because like I said, a lot of times if you're spending all your day, all your time working on something, you know, how much of that time could be spent doing something that is more aligned for you. So just food for thought. Oh, there's the helicopter. Which, little side note, you guys, because there was just a little helicopter action going on, which is why I paused the podcast. But we have listed our house for sale again. I think I talked about this on YouTube. I can never remember like where I talk about updates for you guys. But the house is on the market again. So we are attempting to sell the house again. And then I will let you guys know what happens. Honestly, at this point, I don't know what we're going to do. I was always like, I definitely want to stay in LA no matter what. I'm an LA girly. We're just going to move to a different, you know, location in LA. And I have to tell you, like, something in me has shifted and changed. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying that we're going to leave LA for sure, but I just don't know yet. I'm definitely more open to living somewhere that is more peaceful as another plane flies by. I've talked about this a lot on other podcasts, but Eric and I both, my husband, are extremely sensitive, both to like our environment, but also emotionally, to sounds, to fabrics. Like, it's a whole thing. And living somewhere that is as stimulating as LA has really taken a toll on my nervous system over the past couple of years. So yeah, I'll leave it at that for now, because I'm not really sure, you know, where where we'll go, but obviously you guys will be updated on Instagram. Okay, the next unconventional quality is being physically incapable of doing things that I don't enjoy. I know that sounds like such a privileged, just bratty statement, but hear me out, okay? This goes kind of into me being really sensitive. It feels revolting in my body to be doing things that I don't want to be doing that are completely out of alignment with me. So whether that is like meeting up with a person that I just don't want to meet up with, whether that is living somewhere that I don't want to live, whether that is working a serving job that I don't want to be working, it's like it truly, I physically feel it in my body that like, I can't do it anymore. And this was my example, like working a serving job when I lived in Hawaii years ago in the hot sun, serving Mai Tais to people on vacation, just sweating my ass off. And then at 4 a.m. going to make lattes for people at Starbucks. Like, if I was never as uncomfortable working those jobs as I was, I would never have been uncomfortable enough to start a business. And that's the thing, is like, in order to bust out of your level of comfort right now and do something you've never done before, you kind of have to reach a rock bottom moment of like, you know what? I am so uncomfortable right now that the fear of staying the same, of staying in this position, is actually worse than the fear or the uncomfortability of like starting something new that's completely unknown. You kind of have to get to that point. And I think that's why actually sometimes not having a safety net in terms of money or in terms of a partner that can support you is kind of actually a blessing, because you're forced to figure it out. You don't have anything to fall back on. And that's the situation that I was in. I was like, no, this is going to work, because I literally will not go back to my serving job. And I think it was kind of like that level of dedication, and not like, because I honestly didn't have 100% faith that I could do it, but I had 100% faith that I wouldn't give up. And I knew that it was completely within my control to stick with it until it worked, no matter what that looked like. And I think having that kind of like faith in yourself is really, really important. And the utter disdain I had for working a regular job was truly the exact motivation that I needed to create something better for myself. The next unconventional quality is trusting myself over all of the quote unquote experts. So this is a big one. And I think one of the biggest ways that we give our power away as people, but also as business owners. And you guys, I still feel like I do this, even though I know that I shouldn't, or I know that I don't need to, but at least I'm able to kind of like, you know, bring it back, is giving our power away to people that we think know better than us, but truly like no one else knows better about what is right for you than you do. And of course, we can learn so much from other people who have accomplished the things that we are trying to accomplish. Like maybe we look up to a business owner who has the type of business that we want, or the lifestyle that we want, or the bank account, the money, whatever that we want. Of course, there are so many things that we can learn from those people. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't hire coaches or buy courses or read books. Do all of those things. But what I'm saying is don't ever expect for somebody else to be giving you like the golden ticket, the one thing that you need to do, the business idea, the name of your course, the course topic, the price point, like all of those things, you kind of have to tune in with yourself and decide what feels right for you. And I also guarantee you that the way that somebody else tells you to do something is probably not going to be as effective as the way that you decide for yourself. I also know, I mean, I'm sure you guys have all realized this, but every expert out there has a different strategy that has worked for them. So if you're constantly tuning into what other people did to be successful, you're going to get a lot of really conflicting advice. And that's why also like everything that's out in the world, everything that's on social media, everything that I say, everything that other coaches say, take everything with a grain of salt, but always run it through the lens of, okay, does this feel right to me though? Because again, you know better than anyone else. And the way that you are going to do something uniquely your own is going to be what makes it, you know, unique and successful and really resonate with people because it's coming from your heart and your soul. Okay, the next thing is actually not setting deadlines. So again, my OCA students know one of the first lessons I have in the course is a quiz from this book called The Four Tendencies to figure out what your tendency is, because some of us, like me, my tendency is the rebel. We do not respond well to deadlines. So there are some people who, and again, it's in the first lesson of the course if you guys are in it, but you can figure out which tendency you are, because there are some people who actually respond well to deadlines. Some people need to have a deadline in order to get a certain task done. Me, for example, and other rebels, I know there's a lot of rebels listening to this probably, we do not respond well to deadlines. Whether somebody else set the deadline for us or we set the deadline for ourselves, we rebel. We don't like it. So if you are like that, I think one of the best things that you can do is not set a deadline and just know that you are self-motivated enough to get it done as fast as you can. Honestly, I think not setting deadlines has allowed me to get things done way quicker than I would have, because as soon as I set a deadline for myself, I know this from past experience, I immediately do not want to do that thing. Whereas if I'm like, ooh, I have this idea, like the current course that I'm working on, all about money mindset and manifestation and the habits of rich people, which I'm so excited to share with you guys. Once I started working on that, I did not set a deadline, but I felt this overwhelming, just like inspiration and motivation to work on this course that I'm making so quick of progress. And I'm probably going to get it out like within a couple of weeks, which is insane. So you have to figure out what your tendency is and what works for you, but that has been something that works really well for me. Okay, the next unconventional quality that made me a millionaire is not sticking to one niche. How many times have we been told by business coaches that we need to choose a niche, okay? And I'm not saying that having a niche is not important. I think I'm going to explain in a little bit like how you can become the niche. And when it comes to course creation, I think specifically around the time that you're launching your course, you want to keep your content like relatively focused on a specific topic so that you're not all over the place. But just to give you some like context, you guys know I started my business as a nutritionist. Then I changed my niche to minimalism when I was a minimalist, budgeting and starting my business there. Then I switched to digital nomad life when I traveled the world for like 2 years. Then I switched to human design because I got really into that. And then most recently switched over to like online course creation and money and starting, you know, starting a business that you love, making money from wherever you are. And I knew that people would maybe be confused by this. Actually, I mean, honestly, they weren't really, and I'll explain why I think that is in just a second. But every expert was like, you have to stick to one thing. You have to make sure your Instagram handle matches the content, which I didn't switch from Rebel Nutrition until literally today, 5 years after I started talking about course creation. Okay. And I rarely ever got anybody who said anything about it. So maybe people were confused, but they didn't say anything about it. People, I still have had, you know, 6-figure months and 7-figure years for the past couple of years. So obviously it's still working well. But the way that I was able to switch between all of these niches and still have a really profitable business is that all of these topics that I just mentioned, they're all a part of me. They're all a part of my brand. So instead of focusing on choosing a niche, quote unquote, which we're all told to do, why don't you just become the brand? So what I mean by that is there's probably a couple of core topics of things that you are really interested in or that you're an expert in. And you, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, probably focus majority of your content around those like three things, right? Those can all become part of your brand. And then there's smaller things too. Like, so for me, just to give you guys like a concrete example, online courses and money and travel, I would say is in there too. Those three things are like the core pillars of my brand. And then trickling down a little bit further are kind of more like lifestyle quirky things about me that are 100% unique to me. So things like reality TV, my Pomeranians, let's see what else I'm thinking of off the top of my head. Just my story around like living in a hut. I don't think there's a lot of business owners that like used to live in a hut and live out of a suitcase for multiple years and do their laundry in the sink and use an outhouse. You know, it's kind of a unique story. So all of those things kind of create my overall brand. And the best thing about creating your own brand and becoming the niche is that nobody is your competition. Nobody can take that from you. Like when you are truly yourself talking about the things that you are enjoying, the new things that you're interested in, nothing is ever off brand. Nothing is ever confusing for people because it's all you. I mean, literally there are times when I get on Instagram stories and I talk about like the most random shit. Like a couple of months ago, I went off of caffeine. I did a caffeine detox and no one was like, oh my gosh, why are you talking about this? You're a course creator. Like you shouldn't be talking. I was like, no, this is me. If you're here, it's because you like my brand. And I think that we can all create businesses like that. And it makes it so much more fun because you don't feel restricted to only talk about one thing, but also it creates longevity for your business because if you're always sharing new things that you're interested in, your personality, no matter how you tweak and change and evolve yourself over time, anything that you do and create is going to be on brand. And the people that are there because they love you are going to stick around no matter what you do. But if you, for example, and this is why I think, you know, I've seen this huge trend with the faceless accounts, the faceless marketing, which in some ways I'm like, oh, that's genius. You know, you can just like post videos and you'd never have to show your face. People don't even know who you are. But at the same time, it's like, nobody knows who you are. The main reason why people feel like ready to pay you thousands of dollars to enroll in your course is because they feel like they know you personally. At least that's been my experience. And I'm sure, you know, I'm open to changing my perspective on that, but it's just not something that I have seen yet. So I'll be interested to see how that kind of like changes the marketplace, but we shall see. And just one last thing I want to say about this too, is like, I feel like so many of us are multi-passionate and interested in so many things, but then we feel like we can't start anything yet because we need to choose a niche first. And then how long is that prolonging you from doing anything? Because you're like, well, I don't want to just talk about this one thing. Okay. So here's your plan. This is what I'm telling you can do. Choose a course topic that is one of the main pillars of your brand. Okay. Yes. The course topic itself is going to be niche. It's going to be one specific thing, and it needs to be if you want it to be profitable. But that does not mean that that's the only topic that you can talk about for the rest of time. Take it from me. I have like 9 different online courses on different topics. Okay. You can incorporate all of these things into your brand, and what you can do to ensure that you are not, you know, confusing people is just making sure that when it comes to launch time, you are focusing your content, let's say for a couple of weeks before you launch your course, around that course again. But then once the launch is over, you've made a bunch of money, you can, you know, open up and expand your content again. It truly makes having a business so much more fun. And like, what a time to be alive that we live in a day and age where you can build a profitable business off of being yourself, literally. Like, there has never been a better time to build a business. And not only that, like, we can get on social media and reach hundreds of thousands of the right people within minutes for free. We don't have to pay for marketing or anything, just by like creating a piece of content that resonates with people. Okay. And I'm not saying that like every piece of content you create is going to reach that many people, but it's possible. You definitely can. I mean, if you practice, if you create something every single day, you're going to learn what works and what doesn't really quickly. Okay. Next, unique quality, or not unique, but unconventional quality that made me a millionaire, is being lazy. So I kind of talked about this at the beginning, but I think there also is this misconception that when I say lazy millionaire, people think that I'm saying I don't work hard, and that is not true. Obviously, I would be lying to you if I said that building a business of the size that I have has not taken hard work. It absolutely has taken hard work. But when I say lazy, what I mean is I love my leisurely time more than I love working. So when I am, you know, excited about something, motivated about creating a new course, I work hard on it because I'm excited about it. I'm motivated about it. It's really fun. But am I working 12 hours a day, and am I letting that coursework, you know, take away time from my sleep or my yoga classes or my mental health? Or honestly, like at night, I like to watch TV for sometimes a couple of hours, and I have never let my work interfere with those things. Or like traveling, laying on the couch, naps, sleeping when I want to sleep, taking days off when I want to sleep. I'm telling you guys, from day one of starting my business, living in the hut, I never have let my business prevent me from doing any of those things that I like. So that's what I'm saying when I say that I'm lazy, is that you can build a super profitable business and it does not have to, you know, get in the way of you enjoying your life. And I also think, going back to lazy being like a positive thing, I'm a lot of times just way too lazy to worry about stupid shit that doesn't affect my bottom line. In other words, if it's not going to be the difference between if somebody pays me or not, like I was talking about typos earlier, I'm not going to worry about it. It's not worth your time. And you could spend all day in the minutiae of fixing brand colors and fixing typos and going back and making sure things are perfect, but those things are not going to be what make you a millionaire. What is going to make somebody decide to work with you is having a clear message, showing up consistently and sharing that message, being yourself, being aligned with the things that you're interested in, and connected to something greater than you. I mean, there's like a reason, and this is not, you know, religious in any ways. I mean, I know a lot of us are like have a spiritual connection, but what I mean is like showing up and doing the thing in your business, not just for you, but for other people. I mean, if you have a business, literally you're here to provide value to other people, and focusing in that way and making sure that like you're delivering the value that they need at the right time in the right way is like what matters. You know what I mean? So anyways, that was a little tangent on being lazy, but I hope that it clarifies things. I think that most people understand that like I'm being a little bit ironic when I say lazy millionaire, but the point is everything that I just said and the ability to make sales when you are traveling, when you're sleeping, I'm recording this podcast and a sale just came in a couple seconds ago. So like, obviously I'm working, but you get the point, like being able to scale and generate income during, like while you're living your best life, like that is the goal, right? So anyways, I'm going to end the podcast here. But if you guys want to learn more about creating passive online courses, I'm going to link, I have a new free mini course that I just created. I'm going to link it in the show notes of this episode. And it's kind of like a little preview into Online Course Academy. So if you guys have been on the fence and you're like, ooh, I just want to see a peek into the course and see what it's like, see what your teaching style is like, and make sure it's something that like I feel like is doable, download that free course. And it will also, that free lesson that you're getting is going to help you choose a profitable course topic based on like your unique skills, passions, expertise, experience. And then we're also talking about like, obviously how to turn that into a passive business. So I'm super excited for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And I will be back again soon with another episode. Please come over to my Instagram, Lazy Millionaire, and tell me if you listen to the podcast. It means so much. And if there are any topics that you guys want me to riff on next. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Wealthy, Worthy, and Wild. If you enjoyed this episode or found it helpful, would you do me a huge favor and either share it on your Instagram stories and tag me, or leave a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you were listening to this? It helps us reach more people with this message. I love and appreciate you all so much. And remember, the most effective way to attract your desires is to start showing up as the version of you who already has those things right now. There's nothing standing in your way from feeling those feelings today. Now, go have a beautiful rest of your day.